Welcome to the podcast. This is David Say, visual media designer, blogger, writer, whatever it is this week.
And I am photographer Sid Caesar.
Short and sweet.
Look at that.
I should take a cue from you, sir. You are the master. I bow to you.
Thank you. Thank you.
So, this is the second regularly scheduled podcast that we are doing. We're doing these every 2 weeks.
Yes.
And already we're getting a little bit, weary of it. I guess because you've got to perform. You've got to be on.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you want to or not.
You do. That music helps pick it up, though.
It does. Yeah,
that's because I wasn't into, like, you were like, all right, well, we got to do it. And I was like, what can
Yeah.
But you put that on and you're like, your head starts moving around.
You have no choice. But when Michael Ballar and the Azins Ensemble is in the house, even virtually, you had to move your butt.
move your butt.
So let's see. What do we have going on this week? You've been playing, what's it, that zombie game.
Is my zombie impersonation like that? That was supposed to be like so overjoyed that it just like all came out with the sound. But at the same time, I guess it sounds like a zombie. So my one of my addictions this year has been Red Dead Redemption.
Mm-hmm.
And they just released a expansion, campaign expansion, where it's a new campaign. And it's the Undead Nightmare. And it's zombies in the Wild West.
Yeah, so this is like a really awesome looking 3D game for the Xbox 360.
Yep.
Unfortunately or fortunately, I don't have one.
But
I've seen it in action. It's really one of the more amazing games I've seen in terms of presentation and drawing you within a world.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
this is
in the Wild West.
Oh, it's incredible. And I don't even know how far along I am, but it's like the perfect, like everybody that makes downloadable content, like expansion content on the Xbox, this is what they should look at when they're like, okay, what kind of content do we want to be able to produce? Like, mm-hmm. it's a new campaign for the character, and then it's got all this stuff still interspersed, and it's got new weapons, and it's got all new weather effects, and it's got new music. And it's this whole zombie thing, and the dialogue is like perfectly B movie roll and everything. Like, yeah. It starts off towards the end of the first game, and it takes place before the end of the first game. So you're playing as the main character, and then all of a sudden, like this guy that lives with him, this old guy, like the grandfather, he shows up and he's a zombie, and so immediately he goes over and he bites this guy's wife, and he's like, "What the?" And he's trying to figure, and then like the wife bites the kid, and then finally he ties the mother and the child up, and he locks them in the bedroom so he can go out and find out what's going on, and that sort of starts the whole campaign and everything. But he's like, he's like sitting there, and he was just like, he's talking to his wife, and he's like, "Now you just stop biting chunks out of people," and he just says it like perfectly normal, So it's really good, and it's just and it's great because it's a third person kind of thing, so the camera's like behind the character,
mm-hmm.
and you're going through all this terrain in the West, and there was this one part, and I was going from destination to destination, and in the middle of the area, in the middle of the desert kind of place, and there's a ridge, and then there's this trail thing that you can look in underneath it. There's a path that's surrounded by, I don't know what you call it. I'm lost. Can't figure out how to say it. But so I get up on top of the ridge rather than ride through sort of the cutout that's in the middle. There's big walls on either side of me.
Yeah.
So I go up on top of the ridge, mm-hmm. and then I happen to look down, and there's like 25 zombies in there, and they're all just like lurching their way down this pass. And then they kind of rip off like the Left 4 Dead franchise, because there's four different zombies that are in there, and it's totally like one of them is the tank version, and then one of them's the one that's like hunched on all fours and runs really fast, and then there's one that spits this green goo, which is like every character from Left 4 Dead, like the four zombies in that game are exactly what these are. So it's like, there was no shame in that taking that. But it's great, and the motion's great, and it's just, it's cool because it, they'll come over and they grab you and they knock you off your horse, and then like you get up, and then there's just this wave of zombies, and you can run away, and you turn around, and they're all coming at you,
Yeah, it's a lot different than other zombie games. Like, you remember playing Resident Evil for the first time, and Red Dead is much more cinematic, though, so I imagine the moments in it are like more like you're actually watching a movie.
And you can see them in the distance. Like, I was just in the woods, I was playing this morning, and I was just in this wooded area. and I came around this corner, and there was just a bunch of them, like, out in the middle of nowhere. And then they smelt me, or however they detect you, and then they all just, like, some of them slowly start lurching, and their bodies do all these weird convulsions and stuff.
How do zombies detect people?
They just see you, and they go for you.
They see you, and they go for you? But do they have, like, excellent night vision?
I don't know.
Or is that why they're inside at night?
I don't know. They have this one area in the game. It's a safe house. And there's these really high walls, and you walk around, and the entire perimeter of the safe house is just swamped by them. They're just everywhere. Mm. And if you get close to one of these little ladders that goes down, like, they all start coming towards the ladder, and they're all like,
but they can't climb it.
But they can't climb it. There's zombies.
There's certain logic to zombies, but the field has expanded so much since the 80s that
there's
these subfields. It's like there's reformed zombies, and there's
the runny zombies.
There's running zombies, you know, the fast zombies. And there's the medical zombie, or the disease zombies.
The rage zombies.
Rage zombies. Yeah. I keep thinking I should go up to the Riley's Guns up in Northern.
I think you should just go get an Xbox.
An Xbox, not a shotgun.
No, just get an Xbox. I guess you can kill all the zombies you want in this game.
That's true. Yeah. You know, just to be prepared. You know, always be prepared. Like our friend Gary says, you know, be prepared.
That's the Boy Scout motto, isn't it?
Yeah, well, he's an Eagle Scout.
Right? For the zombie apocalypse.
Yeah, so Eagle Scouts always have, like, this kind of, like, they're ready. They're ready for stuff.
Militant.
I don't know. It's like, isn't it like every U.S. president or every astronaut has been an Eagle Scout? Something like that?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, what else is going on? Didn't buy anything you shouldn't have.
Oh, I did.
You did?
Yeah.
You want to talk about?
Are
you hunched over and shit?
I just did this morning. I ordered another bag.
Another bag.
Yeah.
Ashamed of yourself. He bought a Think Tank Airport Security, which is...
It's a roller bag.
It's a bag from... Think Tank makes camera bags. And they're one of the more innovative ones. When I came aware of them a few years ago, it was when I was looking for a camera laptop bag, something that will carry a 17-inch MacBook Pro and a digital SLR. There weren't very many options at the time, especially for 17-inch notebooks. Mm-hmm. A lot of them will carry a 15-inch, but not a 17-inch. So I got an Urban Disguise from them, which I used to love. But then I got sent on request, because I had written a page about the Urban Disguise describing my experiences with it, and their PR people or their marketing people noticed that my website was sending them a lot of traffic compared to other websites. And so they sent me a Think Tank, what's that thing called again?
Streetwalker Hard Drive Pro.
Streetwalker Hard Drive Pro, which is my current favorite bag. But I've been eyeing the airport securities for quite some time. The international ones, actually. With the low divider set.
The slightly smaller ones.
Yep. So what are your plans for this bag?
I'm not sure. I mean, I have a rolling bag now that I've had. I bought it at a pawn shop. And I noticed, like, when I was doing the workshops, I've been using that Streetwalker. Mm-hmm. And the last workshop, I actually used the roller bag instead. And I was like, well, this makes just more sense. That way I'm not lugging stuff around on my back.
That's true.
You know, from location to location. And so I figured, first of all, it's the end of the year, so I might as well spend the money on the business, and then I can write it off come tax time.
Yep.
So I had a little sitting in PayPal from a workshop. And I've been kind of thinking about... Like, I would like to eventually have one dedicated roller bag that would just be for studio lighting, in case I need to bring studio lighting on equipment, studio lighting on location. And then that way still have another roller bag that I could just put gear and lenses in. And mainly because it was an impulse buy. I was like, man.
What was the appeal of
this? This would sort of complete the Think Tank triad. That's bags for me.
One of every one. Yeah.
And I haven't used.
You don't have their. They have that swing around holster system.
Yeah, no, that doesn't interest me. And I haven't used the Urban Disguise that I have, so maybe I'll offset the cost by selling that off.
Yeah, it's still in good.
It's like brand new.
Yeah.
But primarily it was either that or I was going to buy a big Octobox, and I decided against the Octobox, and I'm like, you know, I'd rather have something nice that I can cart my gear, and my gear deserves something nice, you know.
Yeah,
you'll spend the money on fancy equipment and lenses, but you know, people hem and haw the minute you start talking about buying a nice bag to put everything in. So, and then this will be nice too because I like, I don't know, I just like the way they build them. They look really nice. They're well made. And they got cool little features and stuff.
I really like their stuff.
Yeah, that's it. But primarily, it was an impulse thing.
Yeah,
I was like, oh, I want to buy this, and I'm like, no, I shouldn't buy that. And then I'm like, oh, but I could buy another bag.
I've been surprised at how useful the backpack format has been for me because I avoided like the camera backpacks because they have all these dividers of them.
Yep,
and you know, for the lenses and like for bodies and like little accessories. And the way that I thought I wanted a bag for what I do, which is like I have a computer and I have some audio media, some audio visual gear, and usually a lot of books and stuff like that. So I didn't think all those compartments would work for me, especially since there's no room for like a large regular paper notebook.
Yeah.
But instead, it's ended up being pretty cool because I have essentially an entire new media design office in my bag, and I've found ways of compensating for the lack of book space. Like I got a Kindle, for example, that helps a lot. And it just slots into one of those areas that are reserved for things. I can carry all the podcasting gear with me, you know, with microphones and like the audio interface I'm using, which is an M Audio Fast Track Ultra Pro, I think. And it's also the most comfortable backpack I've used. You know, it has like some rigidity to it, but it's got the padding in the back.
Rigidity.
The padding in the back. And it has a clip in the front. And I actually just like looking at it and carrying it with me. It makes me feel secure. It's like I'm a turtle and it's my shell. And when I'm with my shell, I'm in my house and I'm secure. And it has that kind of association for me. But I'm kind of a dork when it comes to bags. So what else is going on? Well, we've been trying to think of a name for the podcast.
Yes.
Didn't get any suggestions except for one from a friend of yours, right?
Yes, and I can't remember what it is. I didn't write it down. So we can't get into it because I'm going to seem like a jerk because I forgot.
Oh, yeah. So. Okay. And we just want to avoid... Oh, I don't know. We have no idea what we want.
I'm
glad we might have cut this podcast like at 15 minutes because we have nothing to talk about.
No.
But what else we have right now? Oh, we've been hearing about this place nearby called the Red River Theater in Concord.
Yeah, it's up in Concord. They do more independent movies. I haven't been to a movie up there. I think they host like the film festivals, and I went up for a couple of like art networking things up there.
Yeah.
It's really nice. It's a nice looking theater. It's right almost across the street from the Capitol Center for the Arts.
Yeah. I've never been there, but a friend of ours was mentioning it, and they were doing something that sounded interesting up there, but we didn't have like exact details.
No.
So if anyone has anything, any news about what's going on in terms of art people trying to do arty things, we're just in hearing about it.
Tell us.
Just shoot us an email, and we'll talk about it.
Yes.
Let's see. What else we got here? Podcasts. I've been getting into podcasts. I was up in near Portland on Sunday, and it's a 2-hour drive, and I got really worried about, like, oh, what if I'm bored on the drive? And then I downloaded, like, something like 80 hours worth of podcasts for the 2-hour drive. And I started listening to a couple of them. There was this cool podcast from Merlin Mann that was actually recorded at Deconstruct 2010 somewhere in England. And I had never heard Merlin Mann's podcast before. Merlin Mann is best known for a website called 43 Folders, which was one of the very early productivity-related websites.
Mm-hmm.
And he's quite an engaging talker. Very interesting. He was making observations about how being a nerd is very... you should embrace it, basically. I can't say it as well as he did.
Embrace your nerdiness.
Embrace your nerdiness. The interesting people are the nerdy people. He made this distinction between a geek and a nerd. And so, for example, if you're going to ask a geek to fix your computer, the geek would happily fix your computer. If you talk to and ask a nerd to fix your computer, he'll fix your computer too, but he'll want to talk about it at the same time. So, like, in that kind of, yeah, that's it. The people that, like, I like to work with, they're the ones who want to talk about what they're interested in. And so that was an important distinction. And I've also been listening to the Creative Screenwriting Podcast. I forget who recommended that one to me. But this guy, Jeff Goldsmith, interviews screenwriters. And they talk about, you know, where the stories came from, the process from going from this draft to this draft. And I'm picking up a lot of interesting tidbits about just the writing process through this. You know, these are people who are writing specifically to make a movie.
Yeah.
Or hoping to see. And so that's a different kind of craft than if you're writing just for yourself or writing fiction, I suppose.
Huh.
So it's really interesting. He asks questions and answers. He asks questions about, like, well, how long did this take? How much money did this cost? What was the budget for this? So you get some details about that that kind of put it into perspective.
Huh.
Yep. And so those are the two things that I've got.
Nice.
Well, we're going to take a little break here and figure out what we're going to talk about next. So we'll be back. Well, we're back, and apparently Sid is under embargo for everything he wants to talk about. And he doesn't even feel like talking, which is usually my role, but I guess I'm going
to
have...
I just don't have anything to talk about.
Nothing to talk about. So let's talk... I'm going to talk about things that I think Sid should experience.
Oh, God.
For example, like as a New Englander who's grown up in largely... Yeah, well, you've been around. You've been actually living in more places
than
I
have. This
guy's
never gone to see the old man on the mountain before his face fell off. And he's never been... Where else have you... You've never been to the White Mountains.
Never been to the... No, I've been to the White Mountains before on a ski trip.
Okay.
But I didn't go outside.
So you've never been to the White Mountains.
Yeah. Like, whenever I live someplace, I just never... I'm not a sightseer.
Have you been to Hampton Beach?
Nope.
Have you been to Canobie Lake Park?
Candy what?
Canobie Bay.
No, I want to go there because I like roller coasters.
Oh.
Yeah. Because I figure that they'll give you the thrill and probably not kill you. So, like, I became interested in that ever since. The last time I was at Disneyland in California for a cousin's reunion. And the one story I remember from last time I was there was, like, we went on Space Mountain. And I was terrified the entire time. And I kept my eyes closed. I just shook, holding on to the guardrail thing. And there was one time when we were climbing up this tall hill thing. And I opened my eyes. And it was just the sky was filled with stars. Because the inside of Space Mountain is, I guess, looks like galaxies, as far as I know.
Uh-huh.
That's all I saw because we started going down here. And I closed my eyes. And so this memory has been with me for a while, and I've been thinking that I want to go back to Space Mountain and see what I missed.
Space Mountain.
But the last time we went on this cousin's reunion, it was closed, so we had to go on these other rides. So there was the Indiana Jones ride with the, what was it called, Thunder Mountain or something like that. And that was pretty cool because they had this motion-controlled car that you're on. So it looks like a Jeep, but it spins around on this chassis on this track. And there was this cool effect in which there's like they're blowing down streams of vapor, and then they're projecting right onto it. And then you go right through it.
Huh.
And it's awesome.
Oh, so it looks like you're going to crash into something?
Yeah, it looks like you're going to crash into something. It'd be great for doing ghost stuff or whatever. Yeah, so they had these jets blowing down a fog, basically, and projecting onto it.
That's cool.
Yeah, which reminds me, I need to dig out my fog machine for Halloween.
Oh, yeah.
Make sure it's not all clogged up. And we need to try some projector-related stuff with that. Yeah.
I can't believe it. We'll have to go to next when it gets warmer next year. We'll have to go to...
Yeah, where
else it's in Salem. I kept bugging Sarah to go to Canobie this year, and we just never went. Yeah, but it's pretty tame. They're pretty tame. Like,
that's
they've
what
got,
I've heard.
But they've got like one loop-the-loop, which is like nice. It's fast.
Did you make it out to any of the farmers' harvest, fall, spring? What are those called again?
Fairs?
Yeah, the country fairs. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. No.
No?
No. Usually their rides suck at the fairs, and they're, like, wicked expensive.
Yeah.
And Canobie, I don't even remember what was the last time I went to Canobie, but I think Canobie's price is up.
Oh, yeah. The nearest large theme park is Universal Studios, I think? Or no, it's Six Flags.
Six Flags.
Six Flags down in Springfield.
Is that Jersey? Was it Massachusetts?
Yeah, there's one in Massachusetts. So it's like a 4-hour. We should go there sometime anyway, because it's nearby that artist area. What's it called? Hampstead? Hamptons? Something? Something like that?
I don't know.
There's some sort of artistic area in that area.
Huh.
Yeah. I hear music.
Yes. What did I do? Stop that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry.
You're multitasking.
Yeah. I'm playing around with Secret Project.
Oh, Secret Project, which we can't talk about.
Can't talk about because it's Secret Project.
I'm just giving you a hard time. Let's talk about Indian food and how you should enjoy it.
You've
never had Indian food. You've never even really had Chinese food until I made you eat it that one time.
Everybody picking on me.
Because if you had something to talk about, you could pick on me.
I don't want to pick on you. I have you no energy. Started.
You told me I didn't go to all these places and things like that. We still have, like, how many minutes? We have 9 minutes, maybe less than that. 8 minutes to go.
Spare them.
Spare them. We could just cut it short right here.
Cut it short.
Or I could share this insight I had about doing development.
Uh-huh.
You know, I should sit up straight because I can't talk.
Yeah, stop. Like you're just like slouching over.
It's just this cut-rate chair that was probably found in the garage someplace.
Hey, listen.
this podcast is going south really, very quickly. But, what was I talking about? Oh, yeah, this development insight. This past couple of weeks, I've been doing more web development, as in programming in PHP, which is this computer language that allows you to make websites that react. They can change the content of the website when you click on stuff. Most e-commerce websites use PHP.
Yeah,
it's one of the more popular languages. So when you're doing like complex WordPress customization, you have to dig down into it.
Yeah,
and I got to this point in which I needed to actually create something from scratch.
Hmm.
And most of the time, one of the advantages of WordPress, the blogging platform, is that there's a lot of stuff that people have already written for it in the form of plugins,
yep,
or tutorials and stuff like that.
Yep.
And these days, it's possible to be a programmer without really being a programmer. You're really more of someone who puts things together. You know, like, oh, I'll buy this from this and this from this, and I'll stick them together, and I'll write a little
plug
bit
them
of
out, yeah,
what I call glue code, and you stick them together and you end up with this thing.
Glue code, that's
and
great.
Then you just give it a coat of paint. You go to the designer, or you put your design hat on, and you make everything look the same color and the same size, and you put a nice big old picture on it, and then you're done. But no, I actually had to write something that required some algorithmic thinking. I needed to reinvent the wheel for myself, and I hate reinventing the wheel. If I'm going to reinvent the wheel, I want to reinvent it and have 3 or 4 uses for it.
Yeah.
But sometimes you just can't do that. And so I'm in the midst of doing that right now. And when I'm in this mode, it's hard for me to actually like think like a regular human being, which is another reason why I don't like necessarily doing it.
Do you think like a zombie?
Kind of. It's just like code. Data.
Nice.
No. And then afterwards, it's just food.
Yeah, that's me all the time.
And yet we have no candy in the studio.
I can't have candy in the studio.
Yeah, I know exactly where you're coming from. But anyway, so I'm doing this development work, and it occurred to me that this is the third time in the last, let's say, 8 years that I've actually had to be a real developer. By real developer, I mean, here I am, I'm inventing entire subsystems from scratch. I'm architecting modules and how they talk to each other. I'm not just gluing stuff together, or I'm not just downloading things and massaging it until it works. I'm not assembling stuff. I'm not you can get away with these days. I'm actually having to write stuff from scratch that has been written a million times before by a lot of other smarter programmers.
Uh-huh.
But it's not real until like I do it. And so the first one was like writing this ActionScript 2 based what was it called? It was called Showing Evidence. It was for Intel Education. And it allowed children, or people in school, I should say, to construct logical arguments and attach pro and con reasoning to them, and then manipulate them and save the data, and then it would integrate with the server. I didn't do any of the server programming, but I did all the client programming, or most of it, using the then new ActionScript 2.0. It was actually a significant piece of code, and I'm kind of proud of it. I look back at the code base now and I go, I actually wrote this. How did I know how to do that?
How did I do that?
Yeah, this is kind of cool. And Intel said, like, this is the most bug-free piece of software we've ever gotten from a consultant. You have to put it on a testimonials page sometime.
Intel.
If I could find it. one of the Intel internal groups.
Nice.
It just worked because that's the way I like things
just
to be.
Worked.
I hate
what's your new tagline. Dave say it. He just works.
I'm pretty sure someone else uses that. Barebone software, maybe, or I think. And then the second one was the museum project for the Holocaust Museum in Illinois, and I was doing. I didn't do the really complex programming, the stuff that I didn't know how to do was how to do the 3D graphics hardware programming.
Yeah.
So we had to hire a friend of ours from back in the day to help with that. But after that, they had to put together these AI systems, and I never wrote AI before. Huh. But I just had to sit down and figure out how to make something work, and this was evolving stuff, and it was kind of cool. It actually worked at the end. And my long-suffering cousin had to see me through this period. I look back at it and I said, this is actually pretty cool. I could make some games based on this because we use the XNA toolkit, which you can use with the Creators Club on Xbox 360.
Oh,
so can you imagine we can make our own games?
No.
Yeah. Well, of course not. Not this week. And then the third thing is just doing this it's silly. I had to write a parser that reads in a file and then does the right things based on it. But a parser has to have state in it, which means if you read this line next, it expects to see data of this form afterwards and then some kind of terminating something, blah blah.
Huh.
But it's that kind of thing. I had to create something from scratch.
Yep.
I need to go back to original principles and really create something that's new to me. And I've avoided this for such a long time that I assumed that I didn't like it. But maybe I do. And it occurred to me also, the follow-up was, if you're going to do anything epic at all, this is where you had to be. You had to push yourself to do those kind of things.
Yeah.
I mean, it's easy to do roll-up things like these ad hoc podcasts or to write a blog post. But if you're going to write a book or if you're going to put together a series of audio programs... Or an event,
Yep.
I had to get my mind more into that shape. And one thing I've been doing has been to apply the same insights from going to the gym. When the first 5 minutes, we're being played off here. The first 5 minutes are spent just convincing your body to do something, and then knowing your body is lying. I don't want to go on the elliptical. I don't want to do this. so forth. But 5 minutes to build something new.
Right.
And that's what I've been focusing on this past week. So I guess that's the podcast. This is Dave Say, digital media designer, developer thing.
And this is lackadaisical photographer Sid Caesar.
And bye. I hope you feel better.
Next week. Tired.
You need more candy. I should go get some candy.
Don't get candy. I bought a bag of Heath bars.
Oh, you did have candy.
No, I'm using this as an example. And the idea behind having a bag of Heath bars was I'll have one a day. I swear to God, within an hour and a half, the entire bag of Heath miniatures was gone.
That's because they make the bags way too small.
No. And I'm fat enough as is. I can't get any fatter. Or I'm going to explode.
Maybe you can get Sarah to pack you a lunch, and she'll put one Heath bar in there.
That's probably what she should do.
And a bunch of celery sticks.
I'm too lazy. I should just sit there and take celery and put peanut butter in the middle of it, or sour cream or something. Yeah. Cream cheese, they're good. I'm too lazy. I'd rather, play Xbox than stand in the kitchen and make myself a snack.
See, that's what I'm talking about. You're creating something from scratch. We're used to just getting something out of a bag. We've gone soft.
Very soft, in my case.
Soft and cushy. All right, so okay, this week we'll have to try doing that. We'll make stuff.
Okay.
We need to push a little harder.
Okay.
Okay. Have a good week, guys.
All right, we'll see you later. Have a good 2 weeks. This is the empty bag of Heath Bar.